Blog Talk Radio.
Get up again and smile. Get up again and smile.
Hello and welcome to The Last Question, and my name is Don Allen, and with me on either your right or your left is Mr. James Holmes Jr. from the Black Lion Foundation, and we're going to get right to him. My name is Don Allen, host of this beautiful show that we're doing tonight, The Last Question, part of the Independent Business News Network family. It's Our Black News, Black Politics in Minneapolis, and a couple other really wild and crazy opinionated Black-focused sites of information. So with that said, I'd like to let you know our listener call-in line tonight is 347-426-3904. Again, that number is 347-426-3904. I should know that by heart by now. We'll just leave that, and we'll actually put that back up later. So I have to tell our listeners and our on Blog Talk Radio and YouTube, our viewers on YouTube and Facebook Live, that I've known the individual that we'll be talking to tonight a very long time. He was 1 year ahead of me in school from, like, you went to Bryant, right? When it was, okay. Bryant is a junior high school in South Minneapolis, which is now Sabathany. And then from there, it was the seventh and eighth grade because we had so many seventh and eighth graders that they made Ramsey a whole ninth grade. So did you participate in that also?
Absolutely.
Okay. And then from there, when Mr. Holmes James left Ramsey, we went to Central, and he landed there a year before I did, and I followed up the year after, and he graduated.
It's Minneapolis
Central. Yes. Minneapolis. We'll make it very clear here. It's Minneapolis Central. And the good old days, as they call it, at Minneapolis Central, 79 and 78, back when the school was school. But we appreciate everybody tuning in tonight, and we're going to get into it and talk about a lot of stuff concerning communities in Minneapolis and Minnesota, St. Paul, all over the place, and what the Black Lion Foundation is about, what James's vision is, and how he plans to roll it on out. So with this, welcome. James Holmes Jr., how are you?
I am super great and getting better. Thank you, Don, and thank you for having me on tonight, and I'm grateful to be in the mix.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to have you here today, and for those, you know, that don't know your history or your work, can you give us, like, we have the full hour. We can take our time. We can go an hour. If not, we're just two guys chatting it up. What's important? What is...
We definitely have to
tell it's just for you and me. Yeah. Yeah, it'd be a done deal. You know, we'd be here till tomorrow. If they let us stream that long, we sure be here till tomorrow. But what is it that your foundation does? But before you even get to that, tell us a little bit about yourself, what you've been doing, what's going on. I know you have a beautiful family. I see them all the time on social media. It's a nice look. And let's just get into that.
Absolutely. I was born in a little town in Arkansas, a smack of Arkansas. I moved up here when I was 7 years old in second grade. And ironically, the reason why my father moved our family up was for better economic opportunity. And we will definitely circle back to that at some point. And as Don said, went to Bryant Junior High and then Minneapolis Central. So we're both Southsiders.
Southside.
I grew up playing sports at Central before Central. I played sports over at Phelps Park, which is one block away from where George Floyd was murdered. And I'm sure we'll circle back to that at some point. Also, went to college, Creighton University, fast forward. Spent over 35 years working primarily in finance-related fields, whether it was with big Wall Street brands like Merrill Lynch for many years in the automotive industry, still working with clients. I discontinued that. I don't know if you want to say the time for that or how you want to phrase it. And I ventured off into becoming an entrepreneur. Really only, a year and a half ago. So I run two businesses now. Black Lion Always is our for-profit side. And then what we're talking about tonight is our Black Lion Foundation. And the original business plan, Black Lion Foundation, I'm sorry, Black Lion Auto was set up to do the initial primary funding for Black Lion Foundation. Admittedly, we thought it was probably going to be really in 2021 before we became really active with Black Lion Foundation. The George Floyd murder is what only can accelerate all of that. So literally, I started doing Fast and Furious on my foundation work the day after George Floyd was murdered. The foundation was set up in the business plan anyway. It's just that made it move faster because it literally got to a point to where it was personal to me. I'm like, this is too close to home. Mm-hmm. It's a block away from where I grew up, you know, participating down at Phelps Park. Probably, I'd say 5 out of 7 days of the week. It was too close to home, too personal. And I think at some point, us as men, we all have to decide, are we content with continuing to walk away and ignore the injustices that we see all around us, or do we want to participate? And so obviously I think we know what my answer was there. So we've been sprinting a marathon with Black Lion Foundation. And what Black Lion Foundation does, it addresses inequities and inequality, and it is good into the social justice foundation. But we feel like the majority of the problems that we see right now going on in Minneapolis and throughout the nation, most of them see are symptoms, you know, the police brutality, the violence that we have with each other. It just, you can go on and on and on. To us, those are symptoms. But we feel the root is, it comes almost always back to economics.
Yes.
If your economics are in place, you can take care of yourself in many, many, many regards. And so we spend the majority of our time addressing the economic disparities in the Twin Cities. So, now, I kind of feel that Vincent Barty once said, is we're going to chase perfection, but we're going to catch excellence along the way. So what I mean by that is our long-term mission is obviously to close the wealth gap in the Twin Cities and Minnesota. But along the way, while we're doing that, we're still catching other things. If people need to be fed, we will feed them. If people are homeless, they need clothing, blankets, things like that. We do that too. But those are all things that we just pick up along the way. See there, Don? Yeah, because what you asked for.
Yes.
As you know, I can go.
I mean, that's perfectly okay with me because I think it's important that people know who you are, what you're about. You've been featured on the news and in the Spokesman Recorder newspaper, Minnesota's first black business, the Spokesman Recorder newspaper, and not only the first black paper, but it's important to keep a historical track of what's happening and who's doing it. Because, as you know, being a critic, someone that loves the community, but a critic of bad systems, you know, I've watched for the last 25 years of things that didn't work. And they didn't work because they were broken. They didn't work because sometimes you need people with experience and the acumen to complete a task and catch that excellence on the way that can actually look at processes and vision, foreshadow, and move ahead. So I like what you're doing. I think it's important that people know about it, and I'm glad to have a fellow pioneer here with me tonight yakking it up. And I was just thinking in the back of my head, it'd be crazy if Mr. Sane was here, but we're going to hold off on that. We're going to hold off on that for now.
Shout out to Greg Sane. That's what he's talking about. Greg is a Scott guy, but we're going to work that out. You know, we're not getting
Yeah, that's going to be off the chain. So, yeah. Now, looking at the Twin Cities, Minneapolis and St. Paul, with the especially the numbers of people being shot and the high number of women being killed, and it's one of the symptoms of the denial of economic, what can I say, economic junctions for community members. What are your thoughts on the solution to that? What can we do to keep these 14 to 25-year-olds occupied besides education? Education is there. It's not as great as it was when we were in school, but it's still there. But these people in 2020, I think they also need some economic stimulus, some jobs, a chance to pull themselves up and go a different direction and make choices. So is there a master plan? Is there something you want to talk about? Is it G19 classified? Just overall, what do you think?
We will give you the cliff notes first enough, okay?
Okay. Cliff notes, go.
Choices to make better decisions.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just that simple. That's something that I don't know if I'm going to phrase or not, but it's something that I use on a regular basis to communicate with our young people. And it is absolutely true. We want to give them better choices so that they have the ability to make better decisions. A Van Jones quote that I love is that the best way to stop a bullet is with a job. Now, our perspective is we're fine with taking both avenues as far mm-hmm. as job placement and as far as entrepreneurship, too, because ultimately, when it's all said and done, the more entrepreneurs that we have out there, the better our community will be served in general. My website is lifelinefoundation.com. I once had a vision. It wasn't even that long ago for people to be able to go on the website and literally to click on apply and get a job. Guess what? That vision is reality. Mm. You can literally go on the website right now and you can click to our corporate sponsors and you can make a job application right on the spot. And I'll tell you something. If you get up out of bed and if you're responsible, go to work every day, do what you're supposed to do, don't have 7 felonies, you're probably going to get hired. Now, in addition to that, we have our entrepreneurship program.
Okay.
We have a mentorship group. Before COVID, we literally met 6 o'clock every Wednesday at the New Salem Baptist Church. COVID has forced us to adapt, so we've gone more virtual. So
okay.
What we've been doing is we've downloaded quite a bit in our YouTube library, and we're trying to keep their minds and hearts filled by going on to our YouTube library. And every week we have a different speaker. As you know, we have prominent, serious speakers from various backgrounds. We have attorneys. We have educators. We have corporate leaders. You name it. We have it. We have, I don't know how many in the library now, probably 16, 18. But there's going to be, it will double literally within the next 2 months. It will double. So, but let me fast forward also. We take our young people.
Okay.
And once they show enough initiative, and if they decide that they want to start their own business, we place them in the Black Lion Entrepreneurship Academy. And once they're in the Black Lion Entrepreneurship Academy, we literally take them on an individual basis at their own pace. And we literally, all the meetings are not necessarily at the same time when we're meeting with these young people. And we take it from A to Z. We design their logos. We help them with their business plans. We pay for their corporations, their state licenses, and so forth, whatever it takes to get them started and getting them on the way. I mean, we've even purchased a couple of laptops for our young people. So whatever it is, we're committed to doing it. And I'll tell you the reason why, Don. And I know you know that's your master of statistics. And as far as I'm concerned, I think you're, if not the, definitely one of the officials as far as actually knowing what's going on in the Twin Cities and the African American community.
Yay!
That's a sound effect. Keep going. That's just a sound effect going, yay! But yeah, you know what?
I
got much respect for you too, and I just,
I mean, we're not gonna agree on everything all the time. That's not the point.
Yes.
The point is, you got a lot of mind powers here. You pull that together, there's beautiful things you can do. And I mean, that's a good part of the problem now. Is for 400 years we've been fragmented, and that divide and conquer thing, I'm gonna tell you, it really works. But let me get back to my other point.
Okay.
African Americans are at $1.3 trillion. Can you? That's right. $1.3 trillion annually.
Exactly. Yeah.
What's that?
I said exactly. We should have our own political party, airlines, shopping, Kmart, Target, all that.
Do you know that that's actually more than the GDP of Mexico and several other countries?
Mm-hmm.
But you would not know that if you look at the wealth statistics, mm-hmm. Because as far as wealth, particularly in this state, the disparity is second to the last in the United States. So it's really, really bad.
Yeah.
It is. And so that needs to be addressed. And that's what we do. Sometimes, admittedly, it feels like spitting in the ocean, but that's all right. we're going to keep doing that. How do you know, Doc? You know, one bite at a time. Right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, and that guy who held the door open for me was – That clown that held the door open for me was a nice gesture. It was a nice – okay. Anyway, I'll leave that alone. Here's what's happening, and we're not going to dive into politics because we have total different view on that and one way or the other, but I don't care. We might not, and you know, so it just depends. It is. Yeah, it is a trap. Here's what we're going to do. Looking at the stats for Minneapolis and St. Paul, let's just talk about the black community for a minute. We know that, and we're repeating stuff that we've been repeating in the Twin Cities for 60 years. So anybody watching this on Twitter Live or YouTube Live or here on listening on Blog Talk.
Let me interject something.
Yeah.
40 years has gotten worse. I feel that.
Yeah, and I would have to agree with it.
When my dad first bought us here in the 60s, I think, and you were there too, we were pretty happy.
Yeah.
I don't think we were really stressed racially or any other way. And now, I think we've let it slip. And right now, they're smashing us.
Mm-hmm. You're right. Absolutely right. And the thing is that there's been a consistent generational evolution of Jim Crow in the black community. And I'm not doing the victim mentality thing or anything like that. I'm just saying that there's some issues and some challenges because right now a lot of this stuff that's happening to black Minnesotans is like – I fielded a couple of messages and a couple of calls last week after the Star and Tribune released a story about the Somali community negotiating a $40 million deal for that Walgreens in that area on Lake Street that was burnt down during the George Floyd. It wasn't the George Floyd riots, but it was the unrest in Minneapolis after George Floyd's death. And again, the same people are looking at each other and going like, well, hell, how did the Somali community, congratulations to them, by the way, manage to leverage a $40 million deal? And the black community here in Minnesota has not been able to leverage a dollar deal.
Do you want me to answer that?
Yeah, I would like to know the truth and nothing but the truth.
You guys are accustomed to not asking a question without already knowing the answer. I know you know the answer.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say this, is that keep in mind, they were not born here. They were not raised here. Okay, they came here from a different country. And and they're much, much, much more unified than we are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, oftentimes you hear, especially now, there's a little bit more light shining on the fact that, go back 400 years starting with slavery, and that's true, and there are a lot of other ways. Like, why do you keep going back to that? Why do you keep going back? Because it's still significant, because they brought us in from a lot of different countries, then a lot of us spoke different languages, and we were forced to abandon our languages. And everything that was set up systematically was to keep us separated and keep us divided. I mean, from the field Negroes to the house Negroes to you name it. We can go on and on and on.
So, I mean, okay, that's...
We're still recovering from some of that because we're divided. I'm the fragment. Oh. We're divided. And Minneapolis is a microcosm of that.
Yeah, and I agree. But if that's the narrative that we're divided, I mean, what did Malcolm X, what did Martin Luther King, what did Huey Newton, what did the Black Panthers, the Rosa Parks group, and Bethune, W.E.B. Du Bois, the authors of the Harlem Renaissance?
They did. The majority of them.
Exactly. Exactly. My point. But in their literature, it said that if we did not unite, what's happening today will be happening. So why would...
We call that the Messiah complex. We call that the Messiah complex.
Mm-hmm.
And what they did was they literally studied, they monitored what Black leaders had the most support, the most people that was following them so that they could say something, they could get a group of people to act on that. And all the ones that actually rallied enough people, they were assassinated and died. I'm sorry. Call it what you want to call it, but it wasn't an accident. Okay?
You're absolutely right.
And even now, let's say even a guy like you, if you start going too much, man, you better make sure you got good security for your family. Hate to put it that way, but it is funny.
Well, I can't really speak on some G19 classified stuff in my household, but... You step a foot in the wrong way, you might have, yeah, you know, you'll just need some more air holes. I mean, it's a strange thing to think that anybody that has a voice of truth, you, I, a couple other cats I know, are deemed in this town as toxic. I had a group from St. Thomas's MBA program back in 2008, a group of Black MBAs at a meeting say that I was too toxic. And I was just saying, well, hey, there was a guy that lost his job at the Rainbow Foods in South Minneapolis on Minnehaha and Lake Street. And the Minneapolis Department of Civil Rights shredded all these files and told the mayor at the time that they are caught up with the cases. And the only reason I know that is because one of the attorneys that worked in the Minneapolis Department of Civil Rights released all the file numbers that were shredded. And this young man's file was one of them. And so with that said, if there's I think that we've been trained, number one. Number two, there's a severe sense of stratification in Minnesota's Black community. Like back in the early 60s, there was a lot of Black people that did not want Martin Luther King here because they said that, oh, our white people are cool. We don't need Martin Luther King here because our white people are nice, you know, but he came anyway. And so with that said, there are systemic issues among gathering us together for every one point because the powers that be know that if they pull you, I, and one other person from the community that I'll leave unnamed in a room, ten times out of ten, this person will sell us under the rug and take the money and go. And I hear too many stories like that. When some of us don't understand. I understand that there's enough money on the table for everybody, yellow, red, black, and white. I mean, the state legislature, the House.
You know, a lot of that is intentional strategy. You know,
oh, yeah, absolutely.
The strategy is to put enough crumbs and let the Black community leaders all fight over crumbs. Well, you know, I will say this. You know, decided to actually make myself available. I knew all of that. I understood all of that. And I also knew what was important to me. And so that was one of the first things in my mind that I was not really interested in being a part of. I know that we really can control our own destiny. I think as long as we sit idle and we continue to wait for handouts, then we're never going to make any progress. And so it's not necessary that we do that.
Well, I agree. I agree 100%. That's why I tell people all the time, because that's what we've been doing. I mean, I've watched several cycles of funding since 2008 avoid the Minneapolis Urban League, avoid any small black agency that was doing great work.
Yeah, remember? Economics.
Yep.
Okay? We're controlled by economics. Okay? So we're always going to be in a state of struggle. I mean, so many of our young people are blocked out of the regular phone to lead into good paying jobs. So what is they're cycled into the vicious black hole of the prison industrial complex and forced to work on what I call the alternative economy, you know, with drugs and things like that, because they're forced to. And that's why we're addressing things that we're addressing, so that we don't have to stand back and just wait for somebody.
Okay.
Let's learn the fish, not just wait for somebody to give us.
Exactly. Let me ask you this. Black-on-black crime. A lot of people have a hard time, especially black folks, saying that. And if you look at the newspaper, matter of fact, the other day, University in Snelling, I think Wednesday or Thursday night, there was a gentleman driving his car, shot dead in his car, driving down University in Snelling there at that intersection. And when we see the young lady that was 7 months pregnant in South Minneapolis on Chicago and 39th, less than a block from where George Floyd was murdered, was shot by and killed by her ex, and I don't even think the baby survived. But they did take the baby out, and the baby did survive for a short time. And you have all this stuff going on with us, and yet you have groups that say that, there's no such thing as black-on-black crime. That's not real. It's economic disenfranchisement. It's all that. But if you really look at it, you know, it is a problem. It's a problem here. It's a problem in Baltimore, Chicago, Seattle, Denver, Miami, New York, et cetera, across the United States. But Minnesota seems like such a small area that if we did the economic piece that you're talking about, that the Black Lion Foundation is talking about, then maybe we could get some things rolling. Let me get your logo up here over you. There you go. We could get some things happening that actually work in favor of our community instead of against it. But how would you suggest we weed out those that don't have the best intention? And let me set this up. School teacher and former city council person Barb Johnson tonight, you know, sent me a message on social media saying that, hey, and she's actually the godmother of my children. We call her godmother. My kids to this day call her godmother, although they've never personally met her, but they saw her on Facebook, and she gets a kick out of that. But even today, I read this message, and she says, yeah, I read this report from this local foundation, and it said there's only 1.4% of black teachers in Minnesota, which is a fact, which is a problem. And I understand the significance and the strategy and the chain that you have to climb to even get a license to be a teacher if you're a black male, period. And so with that said, how do we get the voices of the black community together to focus on these things in order? There's the pace and sequence or whatever. And how do we get them together to kind of focus on an issue like that, an issue that can be curable quicker than getting someone a job in the community sometimes? A situation that can be cured quicker than stopping black-on-black crime, stopping the kids in North Minneapolis who go from calm to hot with no mid-range. You know, I remember when we were in school. I mean, James, I need to ask you, were you one of the football players that put me, Mike Brown, and Robert Johnson's heads in the toilet stool on the second floor of Central High School? I'm kidding. You know, and I'm saying that to say initiation.
I would have known that there's been pretty good stuff going on. Something that my wife speaks on frequently, her and I, we're naturally wired as protectors, as being anti-bully people. So I didn't even know you were bullied like that.
Oh, no, it, back then, no. Don't get me wrong. And I'm not, today it's called bullying, okay? But it's called bullying because of how it came to fruition to light with one individual kid.
Yeah, my parents would have never No.
But what I'm saying is that back then it was a rite of passage. We didn't have the internet. We did not have social media. We did not have any of that. And I'm just saying, I was kind of making a joke out of it in a way that kind of 747'd out of here. But the thing is like, if we had the same opportunities, I mean, I remember in high school, if you were 14 at any school and the neighborhood youth corps would sign you up for a job all summer long and through the school year. So are we thinking about doing things like that? Are we thinking about making sure that, you know, our youth are taken care of? And how do we get to that point? I guess my question.
Well, it is pretty ironic that if you go back to when we were coming up, how they actually were opportunities for you. It's kind of sad, really.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a part of the problem too. It's a lot of our young people, they don't have much to do as far as places, community centers, things like that. My dad, he passed 2 years ago, and I asked him a question before he passed. I said, "Dad, you know, now that I think about it, ever since I can remember, we were always involved." Some type of activity.
Yeah.
Things like that. And I said, tell me this, Dad. Did you do that on purpose? Yep. Really? Like, yeah. I'm like, why? You know, to keep you guys out of trouble.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't mind that works out. My dad didn't quote a lot of scripture, but that was one of the few that he did. Now, my mom, she'll say to me, the Bible, you know, all day, every day long. But let's go back. I mean, your question, it had a lot of layers.
Yeah, it did. It did.
Just regarding, let's just say, as you call it, black and black. To me, and I'd love for you to just sit down with my wife sometimes, too, because we both feel the same on this, is that the majority of these things all go back to self-confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Really. I know it sounds simplistic, but it really does. And this is something I noticed years and years and years ago, is anyone that does anything dysfunctional, for the most part, I think it almost always leads back to low self-esteem. Okay, if a young man hits an old lady on the head and snatches a purse, what can you tell me that's positive about his self-esteem? No, he doesn't love himself. He doesn't like himself. Okay? So that's really at the core. He doesn't like himself. Okay, well, let's see. Why does he not like himself? Oh, I don't know. Maybe his parents told him he wasn't enough. Maybe when he went to school,
okay,
they told him that he wasn't anything. And so forth. And you just and that's what it is. Is that our kids, as far as I'm concerned, much of their self-esteem is a pride of what we feed into them or what we don't feed into them. Flat out. I'll tell you a story about my family as far as how strong I feel about that. Sometimes we play like family games and things like that. And one of my daughters is like really ultra competitive. And she'll be born and I'll admit, she wins most of the time. That's either me, Kim, everybody, seriously. I hate to admit, she's probably clapping out. Yeah, I do. But when she wins, she starts acting like a peacock. She's just listening to them, you're not enough. If a young lady is on a street corner selling her body, now what can you tell me about her self-confidence? Okay? No, she doesn't love herself. If she loved herself, she wouldn't do that. So it's we're talking about institutional racism, man, it's just layered in so many ways. And in the time that we have to talk, you don't know, you know, it's just not, it's layered in so many ways.
Yeah, okay.
Guys coming up, and particularly if they don't have a father present, man, it's tough. Man, it's tough. I did prison ministry over at Lionel Lakes Prison, and as far as I can tell, almost 100%, maybe it's not 99%, the ones that I got over there that were, you know, having issues, didn't have a father present.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to get to, because I need to play devil's advocate with you on this point. I'd like to thank Kimberly Washington and Mr. Mary, Alfie Maddox, and your wife, of course, for leaving comments up there, and I'll post them as I see them. But I need to play devil's advocate for a minute, because you have a conservative group of people in Minnesota that might say something else other than self-esteem. And then you have me, and
I understand that, but I try to just focus on is that there, a lot of the reason why they have low self-esteem is just all the things that have been in them. And even you talked about the chance of the school system and less than 2% black teachers. Well, the data shows us, believe it or not, that up to the fourth grade, young black boys are ahead of their class. And it is all of a sudden magical.
That's absolutely, you're absolutely correct. You're absolutely correct. And, you know, that's how Minnesota, the state of Minnesota and other places decide how many prisons are going to build in the future and have many more rooms. But the self-esteem piece is interesting because we know, you know, you and I, we had mothers and fathers in our house. We had love, obviously, in our house. We had responsibility, rigor, ethics, and what I see, and this is my opinion, and you don't have to agree, I'm pretty sure you won't, and that's okay, I'll still be your friend. It's a missing piece, because we're forcing, like Kimberly Washington wrote about Neighborhood Youth Corps and Peter Hurilla back in the day, you know, the guy who ran Neighborhood Youth Corps for the city of Minneapolis. I think he ran it for the whole Twin Cities, but it was really interesting because we had a dollar in our pocket all the time. We went to the Skyway Theater. We rode the 9B or the 4, whatever it was, from Central downtown to the Government Center to watch court trials in the morning as part of a social studies class at Minneapolis Central. So we had that intellectual property handed to us in a meaningful way that we were able to manage because of our home life. But what's happening in 2020, well, from 2008, I think it got really bad in 2008 and it worse years before that. But we're forcing kids, especially children of color, yellow, red, white, yellow, red, black, white, whatever, to live as an adult. And if you trap someone and make them live as an adult, then hitting a lady over the head and taking her purse, or just recently the kids over Cedar Riverside snatching people out of cars and carjacking them, North Minneapolis, St. Paul recently, kids stole the car, and some Asian kids, Korean kids, stole the car and hit a pole, and one of the guys, 14 years old, a student of the school where I worked at, died. So you're forcing these kids to live as adults rather than work with them. And why would our kids in the state of Minnesota have to fight the Department of Employment and Economic Development for their unemployment money? And I just need to lay this out real quick, James, and I have another point I'm going to make. And if the kids that I talk to almost every week, about 90% of them are working. They don't have time to do schoolwork. You know, and their parents have lost their jobs, and they're actually responsible for, and you should see it, it's a very interesting construct that's happening right now in the Twin Cities. But the achievement gap has opened up exponentially. So, yeah, while that kid might have low self-esteem, like you said, he's layered or she's layered with all kinds of crap going on. So how do we – go ahead.
100%. It's so much that they're faced with – so it's not – I mean, no, I don't disagree with what you're saying. My primary point is that in the end, when it's all said and done, it comes down to two choices. And our choices are basically we're hit with so much. So do we want to just ball up in a corner in a fetal position and give up hope? Or do we want to dust ourselves off, take a good shower, get dressed, and throw ourselves back in the ring? That's all I'm saying, because I know, I fully know that there's so much, that they're dealing with. Michelle Alexander has a beautiful book out. I don't know if you've read it or not.
Yes, The New Jim Crow. Yeah.
Oh, man.
I'm getting ready to see it. I think it's on my desk here, actually.
Yes, it breaks it all down, just systematically, just all the design layers. And they're very effective as far as what they're doing. They're very effective. But I still get back to the point is we got to keep trying. We really do. We don't have a choice, because if we don't keep trying, then we will perish. It's not easy. And that's one of the reasons why whenever any of these young people call me, I just got a beautiful call today, a young brother named Mark, shout out to you. And I'll tell you what, the main thing that I try to do when I get these calls is to make sure that they feel some warmth. Because I do believe in the African proverb that says that if a child doesn't feel the warmth of a village, he will burn it down so that he can feel it. I mean, I believe that, and I also think that I know that things in this town were much better when you and I were growing up. I'm telling you, man, we didn't have near this amount of stress. It was perfect, no, but not near this amount of stress and strife and pressures and things like that coming at us that all our young kids are dealing with. And so, literally, you know, that's what we do. If they want a job, we would get them set up for the job. They want to start their own business. I don't care if you're 17, 18 years old. You're going to help them get started in their own business. Or maybe they just want continual development. And that's what we do all the time. We're developing. We're developing their minds, their hearts, their souls. All the time, every week. Now, it's like I said, we have to go careful because of COVID, so we're not meeting face-to-face.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you what, we are – that's – to me, a good part of that time is literally if hope is lost. We've all seen this.
Yeah.
When our young people get to the point where they've been beaten down so much by society, and it can happen to any of us because we're mortals, all right? And we can only take so much. But look in their eyes, you can see a young person when they've lost hope. You can literally have the dead eyes. You can literally see it. That when George Floyd was murdered, I had a couple of them on both sides of me, and I was looking at them, and I'm like, oh, my goodness. I mean, these young fellas had gotten to the point to where it was like, I mean, it's like they didn't really care anymore.
Yeah.
It's almost like they were cauterized, and it's like, you know what? Yeah, I'm pushing this to this point, so if we just got to burn everything down, that's what we're going to do. And I'm like, what about the justice? It's like, penalty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't care. It got to the point where they actually lost hope. When you lose hope, then you start acting in dysfunctional manners. So literally, if you really want to break down what we do, you're trying to catch them before they lose hope. If you really want to know, and the elevator speech for Black Lion Foundation is we're trying to catch them before they lose hope. They want a job, come see us. They want to start their own little gym, their own little side hustle, come see us.
That would be a great thing. I was just reading the late Mr. Ronald A. Edwards had a book out. It's called The Minneapolis Story, and I have a copy here, and it's getting kind of scarce. But I think his brother here in town in Brooklyn Center might have some, but I am reading stuff from 1940 to 2005 or 2006, and I don't see a difference. When he's talking about bad police practices, inadequate school system, inadequate playgrounds, inadequate recreation centers, inadequate jobs, all the stuff that Mr. Edwards talks about this book. So how are we going, James, how are we going to wake up, man? How the hell are we going to wake up?
Look at the Minneapolis police force right now, man. What is it, 94% of them are not even from Minneapolis?
We've been sleeping, and we have an opportunity. We had an opportunity about 6 months ago, but everybody wanted to vote for Joe Biden. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, we had an opportunity. We had an opportunity to put a platform in front of these political folks. See, the thing is, here's what I see, and I'm not talking about him. I'm not demon. Okay.
My buddy. Pretty much lifetime buddy, Don Allen. I love him. I love him. I love his family. He's not going to agree on everything, particularly with politics. But let me first sit with this, is that you have confidence in certain politicians. I have confidence in pretty much no politicians. As far as I'm concerned, I don't want to leave it up to the politicians. Like my dad taught me when we played ball, he says, son, don't leave it up to the rest. I'm sorry. That's the way I feel about it. I feel like the politicians are the best, and I'm not leaving it up to them.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? I'm kind of in the center, but I kind of lean right when it's good. And when it's crappy, I'm stuck in the center because I can't dip over to the left at all. And that's just me personally. That's what I choose to do. But the thing is, I swear, James, I've never seen you do this. But I see a lot of people out there in our community that look like us. If they get in front of Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, Congresswoman Betty McCulloch, Attorney General Keith Ellison, the mayor of Minneapolis, the mayor of St. Paul, the best they do is a photo op. I never see anything. Because they don't know how, but go ahead.
I put my life up in two trimesters.
Mm-hmm.
First trimester literally was spent just doing what we were doing way back in South Minneapolis, all right? Just growing up, mm-hmm. going to school, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
The second trimester of my life was really devoted toward my family, the kids, and so forth. So I be honest with you, during that period of time, if there's things going on in Minneapolis that maybe could use some attention or whatever, it wasn't my concern, okay? Because my concern was to make sure my kids were fed, clothed, their needs were met, and educated. And we have four kids, and we have four college degrees, and that is something that we do feel good about. But we know the work still goes on there. And then we're into nesters now. So what that has done is it has afforded me the possibility of being able to devote more time to other people's kids. If they're receptive, of course. So being where I am in life, I was about 60 years old, okay? I'm too old still enough, all right? I don't feel old, okay? I know I don't look old.
Well.
But the fact of the matter, I'm just, and in a lot of instances, you know, I was raised, I'm 42 by my father and my mother. Let's not forget her, because my mother is cold. Let me tell you a little bit something about my mom. My mom is one of the few people that I know that has successfully sued the federal government and won. Okay? And this is when we don't have time for all her story, but she's pretty incredible. But the things that they poured into me is that if you don't stand for something, you can fall for anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so what is even the point of me even being out here trying to do it or not trying to complete what we're trying to do the things that we're doing if, the first time they offer you a couple of dollars, you put it in your pocket, and you agree to shut up. No, that's not going to happen. No,
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you're not the type of guy to even do anything like that. But I'm saying that, you know, you got you, me, and a few other folks, and we're doing what we're doing. We're staying in our lanes, but for so long. I mean, I'm going to have a trash talk show coming up, and I'm going to start naming names and giving amounts and dollar amounts. Wait, no, listen, this is important. This is important. And I'll do it on another show. I won't do it on this show, but I'm not going to do it tonight anyway.
We got to figure out a way to become more unified.
Mm-hmm.
Clean sheet of paper and start pretty much, you know, white supremacists. I want to be with them so that
okay.
I can kind of understand their perspectives and also how they were attacking us. And I even the ones that are far militant as far as what people call, okay, some of them are real sharp. Okay,
yeah.
Like Francis Crest and also that bitch is real sharp. But, you know, what do they do? They label her, like you said, toxic. Okay, because the things that she's saying, they don't want too many people here.
No, not at all.
So she is so deep. She scares them.
Yeah, we.
So I read all of that. And then, you know, all the current economists, John O'Brien actually loves him. Boyce Watkins, he's cool, but he's kind of maybe, you know, be a little bit more not so prickly. And then Paul Anderson's got a lot of knowledge also. So
yes.
A lot of these guys have a lot of knowledge, got all the books, read all this stuff. And in essence, what I've done is I've formulated my own opinion because I'm not really interested. Sorry, but anybody else.
nor should you be.
So much of it, really, all of our destiny is from here to here. It really is, from here to here.
I agree.
It really is.
I agree.
And this is something my wife says all the time. If you believe it, if you believe it, and if you earnestly believe it, and if you apply the effort, whatever it is, it's there for you. Now, that's true. It sounds corny, but it's true.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. I just want to let people know that it is 8:27. We have a few more minutes left in the show. Our call-in number, if you'd like to ask Mr. Holmes a question or a comment or you have a suggestion, our call-in number is 347-426-3904. Again, that number is 347-426-3904 for the listener call in line. I appreciate everyone's tuned in tonight. I'm looking at the different counts everywhere, and it looks like Facebook is going berserk with 8 or 9 folks, but I'm looking at other things that have 200 to 300 folks on them. So I appreciate everyone out there that's listening and watching on Blog Talk Radio and Restream, YouTube, and Twitter via Periscope. We're talking tonight with Mr. James Holmes, the representative, along with his wife, of course, of Black Lion Foundation, and do a lot of stuff here in the Twin Cities. Do you have a website that you could tell people?
Absolutely. Okay. BlackLionFoundation.com. And spend some time playing with it, all right? Just like I said, if you want a job, go to the area where it talks about our corporate partners. Click on, boom, job application right there. And then, you know, send me an email or text or something that you applied. And I promise you, if you don't have 7 felonies, you're going to get a real good look. Or if you want to just be involved in our mentorship program, you want positivity poured into you, you want knowledge poured into you. You know, the only cost is some initiative and some effort. I'm never going to ask you for some money. And I have people that I love and respect that said, James, you got to start charging. James, you got to start charging because if they don't have any skin in the game, they won't feel the value there. I understand that. I really do. So the skin that they're going to have in the game is going to be their time and their initiative. It's going to be the skin. I'm not going to ask them for any money because there's so much out there right now. They get you hooked in. Free trial, free trial, free trial. And then, bam. Well,
I've heard of that.
No, it's not that way.
So, again, it's the...
And you know what? We got enough success stories already
where
we don't need to be begging people. I mean, I already got some stars, man. I got some young stars. I have a couple people that are so cold. You know, it's so cold. I have CEOs saying, can we talk to that one? Can we talk to that one? Can we talk to that one? I'm like, hey, this is still in school, man. We're going to have to wait another year or two. So, we're developing. We got to make a podcast. Some of the things we got this that we started already. I'll go on our website and you can see the recording, so support them, will you?
Yeah.
So we got 4 of them showing, and next week we'll get the other 4 ladies in here. They're coming through all the time. Our goal or objective is to start 50 new businesses within the next 21 months and place an 120 jobs in the next 21 months, too. But and that's another thing. Really, when I started with this thing, I'm like, man, it's like walking down the street, living your little happy life, you know, with my beautiful wife, beautiful kids. It just happened. No real issues in the world whatsoever. Real, no joke.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see all of this injustice going on out of the corner of your eye. You want to go to keep ignoring it, or anybody says, couldn't ignore it anymore. But anytime you do that, it is, let's just call it, it really is.
Okay.
You know, you take away from your time, your resources, and things like that, you know. Is it going to be worthwhile?
True.
And if you're speaking too much truth, you're not going to get in front of it. That's okay, because I had a good conversation with a friend now, attorney, Ray Farrell, a couple weeks ago. And you know what he said, James, really what I'm after is I'm after the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yeah, I'm right there with you. Because when it's all said and done, that's what I'm after. I'm after the truth. And I'm glad that my wife, either wife, are tight enough to where she understands that.
Let me ask you this now. Is the BlackLionFoundation.com correct?
Yes, BlackLionFoundation.com. Okay.
And I just put it up on the screen. Well, James, I'd like to thank you so much and thank your wife for giving you your time, because I have to go up and wash some dishes for my wife so she's not upset.
See, my wife is awesome. I tell people this all the time. One of the coolest attorneys in Minnesota. You know I'm right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I appreciate this time, and we got to have these conversations on a regular basis. I know you got some other stuff brewing here where it's going to be really fantastic and marvelous in a couple of weeks here, probably the beginning of the year. But it's important to have you on and talk about this, and maybe every quarter or so, if not more, we can grow bigger and branch off into other information shows that, you know, you get people heading in the right direction, because it's really important. With that said, in under 30 seconds, is there anything you'd like to tell our community before we close?
Yeah, you know what, because sometimes we say, oh, wow, James is up here, he's just, you know, black. Yeah, I spend a lot of time supporting and uplifting the black youth. But if you ever listen to me closely or read anything, I don't exclude anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I don't exclude anybody. We actually do some work also with our Native brothers and sisters. Myron Hardy, we do a lot of work supporting the homeless and so forth there. And I just love that young Native queen. I just knew her heart is so big. And she's out there on the front lines with our homeless. A lot more than me, because I might look like a big grizzly bear, but, you know, when I see kids out in the cold, I just gonna keep taking. So,
yeah.
I do some of the behind-the-scenes stuff, and she's on the front lines. We've had other people to come out and really help us. Mike Young has let us store a lot of the stuff at his facility, Midwest Auctions.
That's cool.
Lauren Magrin came by yesterday. You probably saw it on the post yesterday. And she had stacks, man, stacks of boxes and bags and things. Westlake Dental, they really contributed to that.
That's good.
So, it's a people thing. It's a people thing. And really, be honest with you, if there's somebody out there and they're like a white supremacist or something like that, they need to be helping me too. Because what's the best protection from a bullet? A job.
Yeah.
Trying to get jobs. Keep the bullets away from y'all, all right?
Yep. Well, with that said, thank you. And we're going to close with, don't go anywhere, though, James. We're going to close with Patrick Adams' smile. And thank you for watching the last question.
Adam,
there we go.
By the way, your son is one of my stars, just so you know.
Okay. Thank you.
Get up again and smile.